This is the Jaguars Scoreboard Show. Breaking down today's Jaguars game, it's WOKB's Jay Gray, former Jaguar Marco Coleman, and you. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, Ticket Exchange, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show begins right now.
That's right. I am Jay Gray, joined here with Marco Coleman on the Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Want to take your calls, see what you guys thought of today's game. My big thing is the word finish. That's what I think about when I saw the game today. When you look at it, you got guys having passes hit them in the hand, being dropped.
Yep.
You have guys that are hitting in the hands. It's getting intercepted and going back the other way. You saw good pressure from the D-line, but they couldn't make the sack. You're seeing Andrew Luck scrambled. If they could just finish some of those plays, I've actually been all right in this game.
Yeah, you know, figure. I guess that's the next phase for a team that's growing and maturing. You know, being in a position to make the plays, you know, now let's make them. I mean, that would be the positive thing that they'll be able to look at in the film. But at the same time, it's going to be eating them at their gut. They're saying, if we could have done these things, we'd have been in a better position. So you're right. Finishing is definitely key. I agree with you.
I mean, the offense, again, shut down like the Matthews Bridge. You have to get something going eventually during the season, don't you think? I mean, these guys aren't making plays. They're not getting open. And when you look at the stat sheet, if somebody's going to open the paper tomorrow, they're going to see Blaine Gabbert with all these picks. The offense didn't score points, but a lot of that stuff wasn't even his fault. Like I said, it was guys getting hit in the hand and dropping a pass, dropping a touchdown, getting a pass go off your hands and run back for seven the other way.
And if you can get something done in that running game, you know, they got to get something going in the running game to take that pressure off. You know, you don't have a lot of weapons at the wide receiver position. And even the guys that are going out, those guys have to be a little more aggressive. You know, I like Shorts. I think he is a good wide receiver. But when he's challenged, when it's him and a defensive back going for the ball, he doesn't win a lot of those battles. Matter of fact, the first interception, you know, and that Blaine threw the ball, and it was a heck of a play by Vontae Davis. But now all of a sudden, you know, for Shorts, you got to become a defender. You can't let him catch the ball. Make it difficult. Pull him out of bounds so his foot comes off or something. You know, he's so close. He didn't do anything to help Blaine in that. You know, because what it is, to be a good wide receiver, those are the balls you got to go battle and get. You can't let that be so easy of a catch for Vontae Davis.
Yeah, Shorts doesn't look like he did last year. Maurice Jones-Drew doesn't look like the back we're used to seeing. You know, you get Justin Blackmon back. Mercedes Lewis, who knows anymore, because he comes back for a couple plays and he's in street clothes faster than I am after a game. You know, I mean, it was real quick, and I've never heard of a calf injury being so consistent. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, they definitely need him. And not, you know, definitely in the passing game, but in that running game. You figure, no, they need him in his toughness in that blocking. That's what Maurice is missing. You know, no Greg Jones, he's gone, and no Mercedes Lewis. Those were the key pegs in that running game. Because people lined up eight in the box when Maurice was going to the Pro Bowl. Now, what is the difference between when he was making it to the Pro Bowl and this season?
I think he's getting a little old.
He's getting a little old, a little banged up.
But you got to realize he had so many carries over his career that he's, you know, a little bit older in playing years than a guy his age normally is, just because of the amount of carries and the amount of the offense he used to be for the Jaguars.
Yeah, I won't take it completely out of Maurice. He's not making all the best. He doesn't look the best that he could be. He should also. But those guys, that fullback and that good blocking tight end, they make a big difference.
I'm going to throw this out there to you and to the fans. I want to hear your thoughts on it. You know Josh Freeman isn't getting along in Tampa. You got to figure Maurice Jones-Drew probably gone after this year. Do you think you could see a trade with Maurice Jones-Drew for Josh Freeman?
I mean, it would make sense. It's not something that,
because I think they're ready to get rid of Freeman, whatever it takes. They'll take anything. That way the Jags don't have to lose a draft pick, and they're getting somebody for a guy that's probably not going to be here next year anyway.
You know, Maurice could go to Tampa and back up a nice young running back, not have to take as many carries, probably extend his career even, you know, back to being that second back when you have Fred T. You know, same type of scenario. I mean, it's not something that I would say would, it couldn't happen. That, you know, would be, I think it'd be a
something to throw
decent
out there. Want to see what the fans maybe think of that. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's start the calls off with Jay. Jay, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. Just joke. Look, like he had two left feet today. And not only that, I heard a rumor in the stands that Marco's coming back. But I told everybody that's the best breakdancer in the Man, Jacksonville, why, Florida.
Why you keep throwing my Jackson, my breakdancing out there, Hey,
Marco?
I'm a better breakdancer right now than football player. I'll say that. How about that?
Hey, I love it, man. I'm old all the way. But I got one more thing for you. Cool. I don't like being taunted by those fans from the other side about Tebow, and then there's a plane flying, hanging Tebow. Why not?
I
have faith. I'd love to bring him in there. I think we take the tarps off, and it'd be a whole new excitement. But I wish it would happen. I pray it will happen, but it's not going to. But, Marco, you need to get up the coaching staff, and so does Vaselli.
Hey, man. Yeah, help work him out. I definitely, with that darn Babin, man. Jeez, man.
At least you can come in and not line up off sides.
I can line up on sides. I can do that. You know what I mean?
You cannot hurt the team in that way. Because they're the worst timing penalties, too. It's not just that you got a penalty. You get an interception taken back. You make a field goal closer. Then you get a personal foul to extend a drive. It's not
terrible,
so much the penalties themselves. It's just the timing of them makes them so much worse.
Yes, man. It's too many. It's happening too frequently.
Well, they're averaging almost 10 penalties a game.
I'm talking about one player's got 6. In 3 games.
Maybe you trade him for Josh Freeman.
They wouldn't.
Never know.
That wouldn't. I don't think they want that.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to John. John, how you doing, man?
Hey, Jay, Marco. Just wanted to talk to you guys about Blaine. How do you evaluate your quarterback when your receivers cannot catch the football? And I'll take your comments on it.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, too. It's, you know, people are going to open up the sports page tomorrow and see Blaine Gabbert couldn't score points. He had 3 interceptions. But they're not going to see the in-between when the receivers are dropping the balls and the receivers are causing some of these interceptions when they're bouncing off their hands.
Well, you got to watch Blaine watch the game. Watch the game film and look at the decisions that he makes and how quickly he makes those decisions. Right, he can't do anything about the drop balls. But he can get the ball out of his hands.
I think
faster.
He's a little nervous in the
pocket.
Yeah,
he held
still.
On the ball too long.
Sometimes he was running when he didn't have to.
He didn't have to. Having more awareness in the pocket, you know, he took off when he didn't have to. So there are some things that he did not do that he can get better on. He just doesn't look comfortable in the pocket. I think that time away, he hasn't been the consistency for him. He needs to play for 4 games straight. Just play and not be on the sideline. Yeah. You know, I think that's hurting him also, is not getting into a rhythm of just, you know, continuously being out there practicing every week. You know, he's not on the practice field.
I mean, in the preseason, he had his best game ever, and then he's out for 2 games. And he comes back, and he's ready to take the starting job full on, and he gets hurt, and he's out again for a couple of games.
Yeah, that inconsistency, I think, is probably the biggest contributing factor to him not taking that step forward that we've all anticipated.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan, how you doing today, man?
Pretty good.
Hey, John.
I'm a little frustrated with Blaine, but other than that, I'm okay.
I think a lot of people are frustrated with Blaine and the whole team in general. I mean, when you're 0-4 and you're getting almost blown out every week, yeah, there's going to be a lot of frustration out there.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we started out good. I would have liked to seen some touchdowns, but I mean, the thing is, going back to what y'all said about Josh Freeman, I wouldn't necessarily think that would be a good idea, because I didn't like what I saw in Tampa from him. I mean, he had some good games and some bad games. I mean, I think it was his first or second year he was good, but it's like basically I said, I forget when I called and said this, but we've missed on some people in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. It's, you know, we're dealing with the hand we're dealt, basically, is what it comes down to.
That's exactly for Caldwell. I mean, you have to recognize that he hasn't been given an opportunity to start to stack things. After 3 years, now I think we can go more into the personnel and what's out there. Right now, it's just what all we can do is talk about those guys that he did pick. Now, you figure Joko, he's been doing good. Struggled a little bit today, but not so bad. I think a lot of times, you know, Blaine gets rid of the ball. You know, Mathis is one of the top pass rushers in the league. You know, Joko's a rookie. Saw a little pressure there. And otherwise, you know, you figure Ace Sanders has been a really good acquisition. I think when he's given an opportunity, they just put him back to what he does best. He's a punt returner. He's a good wide receiver, but a spectacular punt returner. Here we are in the fourth week of the season. He's just now returning his first punts. that was, wasn't a good decision.
I mean, I think it's learning for everybody. You got a lot of rookies on this team, a lot of first-time players that have been on other teams, but this is their first time getting some real quality playing time, and a first-time head coach. Everybody's trying to learn
together.
First-time
general manager, too.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's a recipe for disaster when you have all that stuff, but when it comes together, you're all going to grow up together, everybody's going to learn together, and you're going to know the system better than anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that can be said. You know, you appreciate the good times a little more when you go through something bad, and I really do think, you know, as time goes, this team will definitely have the type of product out there that will have everyone cheering all of a sudden.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Let's go to Kevin in McClinney. Kevin, what's up, man?
I have a question about the 12th man. It seems like the officials are the 12th man.
Oh, there were some horrible calls
Cecil,
today.
Right, Cecil Shorts was held. You know, his jersey's being stretched out on the first touchdown.
Hey, Kevin, I think I heard a whistle. Your phone call doesn't count, man.
Right. And that was another one. Yeah. I think that was a fan blowing a whistle of a cheerleader when Jacksonville recovered the fumble.
That was a terrible call.
Yep, that call didn't count. We heard the whistle. Right? It's a do-over. Do-over call. We need to get Kevin back on. I've never heard that. A whistle. I mean, that was a clear recovery.
I didn't hear
a whistle either. But
because, you know, the whistle would have come if his forward progress would have stopped. And I don't think they – I didn't hear a whistle.
I think somebody brought it up in the booth. I forget which one it was, but it almost seemed like the refs didn't know what to do, so they just said, you know what, it's a do-over. Really.
And all you can always just go to the film.
Got to do something.
Why not just review it?
Let's go to break on that, because I think we need one. 355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Want to get your thoughts on today's game. The lines are jammed, so just hold tight. We'll try to get to everybody coming back here on the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Bueller Swiss Watches. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches are available at Allen Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. My voice is tired. Let's go to Mike in Orange Park. Let him take over for a little while. Mike, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you today?
Good.
I just got back from the game just a little while ago, and it's hard to, again, but it looks to me like Gabbert was having a pretty good game at the outset, but his receivers are simply not getting open, really. They're not getting separation from anybody, and he made a couple of really great throws to make completions early on, and the one to Shorts that he bobbled and the guy intercepted. I mean, those two were rotten breaks. But later on in the game, he started running for his life a little bit too early, and hopefully maybe Blackman will give him a little bit more relief if somebody to throw to. But we didn't throw to a tight end today at all.
Yeah, it's hard to throw to a tight end when they're not on the field.
Harbor is a tight end. Harbor had a couple of catches.
Harbor. Who was?
Harbor, isn't he? That's the tight end. 86. Yeah, Clay Harbor. He's actually been.
Did he catch a pass?
I think he had three.
A little bit earlier. He might have caught one at the end of the game.
He had three receptions. Two receptions for Harbor?
For 39 yards.
Yeah.
Long of 31.
When was that? The end of the game?
Probably. Yeah.
I'm going to rewatch the game, but I don't even remember seeing him in the game. But
yeah, I had to look
if he did, that's good. They finally employed him, but all day long he threw the shorts mostly, and we just don't seem to. And I know A. Sanders made a couple of good catches last week and a couple this week, but it's. The guys aren't getting open very often. Compared to.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to watch the game film and look back to see how many times they're keeping the tight end in because the offensive line is struggling. So there's part of the reason why you might not be seeing the tight ends catching passes. And you got to figure, you know, Cecil Shorts right now is the only proven threat on the Jaguars. So I'm sure they got their best corner on. They got a safety over the top because none of the other guys scare you yet. Once A. Sanders starts breaking out, once Blackman comes back, that'll spread it open a little more. But right now, I mean, who else scares you besides Cecil Shorts if you're an opposing defense?
Well, I think a lot of, you know, you figure Shorts and Sanders are going to be the type of guys, the type of wide receivers where it's going to be timing routes. Hurry up, get open, catch the ball, then run after the catch. And the timing's not there. And I contribute that to the lack of practice for Blaine. When he's injured, he can't practice. He can't continue to get the time. Any timing that had been developed and during the preseason – it's been real helter-skelter because he's been in and out. You can't develop any kind of consistency in that passing game with the guys that are out there, I think that's going to be really, because they're not super deep threats. They're going to be quick throws, quickly getting open type of plays, and that requires timing. And that, I think, yeah, the practice is an issue.
And you can't throw the deep ball if you don't have time. And if the offensive line isn't blocking great, then you're going to throw a lot of short, quick passes that aren't going to go for a lot. But if you can get consistent on those, you'll slowly move the chains. Mm-hmm. But right now, there's just no consistency on the offense, and obvious because they're not scoring points.
And you got to, you know, and when the offense is doing as bad as it's doing, it's not just Blaine. It's not just the offensive line. It's not just – it's everyone collectively. They all have to look in the mirror and try to figure out what can I do better, including the offensive coordinator. I mean, what is it that everyone is contributing to lack of production offensively.
355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Mike in Mandarin. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Mike.
I just wanted to chime in. I'd love to hear your opinion on it, but I think this team right here is probably the worst organized team franchise in all of sports. And it's becoming an embarrassment to the city. And every time you turn on ESPN, it's almost like they're laughing, like the Jaguars are the butt of the jokes now. And I'm not happy about that, frustrated, obviously. But I don't know, this team just seems like they have no motivation. It seems like they're just collecting paychecks. And to me, that's just like stealing from the owner, because you're not, you know, performing to what you're worth, at least on paper. And I think if this team were not to get paid unless we won, you would have a different outcome every game. I mean, we can't even really score a touchdown, and that's sad. That really is pathetic.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, I really do think they are trying. I think the effort's out there. I just think there's so many factors that go into it. You know, lack of talent, you know, bad drafts, you know, Gus Bradley coming in as a rookie coach with a team that is in shambles because of bad drafts and lack of free agent signings. Free agents don't necessarily want to come here. Hopefully that all changes, but while you have it, this is going to be the roughest time. This is really going to be the roughest couple seasons the Jaguars are ever going to see, because you have to get rid of the dead weight. And you have to bring in new guys, but you can't do it all at once if the roster's filled with it.
Yeah, and I would say that the same. You know, it's just it's a matter of talent right now. I don't think it's so much these guys aren't playing hot. You just don't have the players that can match up. You don't, other than Maurice Jones-Drew and Mercedes, I think those are the only two Pro Bowlers that are on the team.
And they're not on the field.
And they're not even, I mean, you know, you figure Maurice, you know.
He's back and forth with injuries.
You got to question whether he's 100%. Mercedes is not out there. And then, two, the team has to establish some kind of identity, and they're not doing that right now. You know, and I think that, you know, as the season goes, hopefully they'll start to establish something by having guys in and out of the lineup that you're depending on. They've got them off to a bad start. You know, the foundation has been set up a little rocky with the guys that you're depending on most not available or being able to play to the level that they're capable of, which is completely disrupting whatever plan that the team that they may have had going in.
And you just never know when something's going to turn around and what's going to spark a turnaround. I mean, look at Cleveland. You know, they got rid of their best player in Trent Richardson, who went to Indy, and they just won two straight games. Fans were talking about giving back their season tickets and wanting refunds, and now they've won two games in a row. When was the last time you heard Cleveland winning two games in a row? I mean, you just don't know what's going to spark a team, what's going to change the culture, and how things are going to play out. You just got to kind of be patient and wait and see.
You think back to those that Dallas Cowboy team when Jimmy Johnson first took over, and how bad they were until they got that big trade with Herschel Walker. But what he did, though, he established an identity within the team. You know, some hard knocks things had to take place. He cut some guys that everybody liked and did some things, you know, got rid of, you know, high paid guys. And that's the type of things, those hard decisions, I think once this season's over, will be made, and hopefully will affect 2014 season.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Going to Thomas in Arlington. Thomas, what's up, man?
Hey, I went out to the game. I actually took my daughter. This is her first game. She's 9 years old, and it was a good experience from that aspect, but extreme as a fan, just frustrated kind of watching the product on the field. And the question I posed to you guys, and I do enjoy the show. I do listen after the home games. And what I'm very disappointed in is it seems as though they didn't like this crop of quarterbacks coming into this the draft we just had. A part of me kind of feels like they knew they weren't going to be that good, so they're kind of thinking, well, if we're not going to be that good, we're going to try to go with what we have. And I really believe that they're playing for either Teddy Bridgewater or Todd Boyd or one of those guys. That way they don't screw it up by winning a couple games. I really think we're on the verge of going 0-16. And I've been in the city for 17 years, seen the stadiums packed. We were consistently winning, and just going through these. This is the worst I've ever seen. I thought last year was the worst. This is worse than last year's product. And as a fan, you pay the money, you go down there, and I pay for the parking, and I even buy the food. I mean, a lot of frustration, and it's frustrating to kind of see when you don't think that upper management almost kind of gave away a year. You get my point? Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to be that good anyway, so let's just really suck this year and just play for the number one overall draft pick and kind of go from there. I know initially that might not be what they were thinking, but after the mini camps, after the preseason, they kind of thought, this is what we've got. So I don't think they're going to make any trades. I don't think they're going to do anything to really upgrade the roster this season. I think we're going to have to deal with what we have and just hope they don't screw up getting the number one overall draft pick.
Yeah.
So, I hate to say that, and I'll still go to the games. I do enjoy the experience. I love living in this city, but yeah, it's pretty frustrating.
I know, and that's what's hard to deal with as a fan. But you got to remember, this isn't basketball where you only have like 11 guys and you can turn over an entire roster in one season and be good again. And you really only need three big stars, like Miami has, and you can win championships. It's a different ball game here. I mean, you got a strict salary cap, and you've got 53 guys you got to put under a roster, and it's just almost impossible to change over an entire team in one or two seasons. You need the draft picks coming. You need the guys that perform, and you need to get some free agents. And it's hard to do in 1 year.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you figure that is the downside of being a fan of professional sports. I mean, you talk, really in the rebuilding process in any of the leagues that you may see, it's that 1 to 2 years where, as a fan, you grit your teeth and it really you really question your loyalty to the team. But just know that just like you're suffering, the ownership, management, these guys are businessmen. They're they're making a little money, but they want to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they're not being able to do that. They're looking at the bottom line, so they're trying to figure out how can we quickly get this thing turned from the red to being in black. So it's definitely something I think that's felt on both ends, and that's just the nature of the beast when you're talking about professional
teams.
You got
to know Gus Bradley's dying to get a win. I mean, it's his first coaching job. He still doesn't have his first win. He more than anybody else wants that first victory, so people will stop talking about 0-16. When are we going to win our first game? What's it going to be like? Of course he wants to win games, and he's going out there to try to win games every single week. Now, will they get a top pick? Probably, but they're not going to sit there and try to tank it, especially this early. I mean,
even with the top pick, I mean, it's been so many. You can't hinge the next season on a top pick. You still have to surround a young guy with some veterans that can get it done, that have an understanding on how to win, that can show him how the process goes. Because what you have is you have a head coach that hasn't accomplished, not taking anything away from Gus, but the reality of it is he hasn't done anything in this league as a leader. You have a general manager. This is his first time. So all these guys play into where now, if you do get this first pick, where is he going to get the clarity and the understanding of how to lead a team and to do it in a winning fashion if you don't have the right type of veteran players to go ahead and show them the way? So I think that'll be the challenge going forward, even with the first pick. How do you surround a young player with a group of older players that understand how to get it done? They got to do that.
355-NFL1, 355-6351. Taking your calls after this quick break. Jags fans, score some great deals today. See your Southern Ford dealer today. Proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. Coming right back with the Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.
The Jaguars Scoreboard Show continues right now.
And it's brought to you by PRI, Presentation Resource Incorporated. I am Jay Gray, joined here with Marco Coleman. Taking your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Going right back to the lines. Let's talk to Henry. Henry, how are you doing today?
Oh, doing okay. Hey, wanted to bring up another thing. I've been a season ticket holder since day one, so I've been through it all. The game day experience. We know what we have on the field. Lack of talent, everything stripped down, and we're building it back up. But this is the two home games in a row that whoever plays the music at the stadium refuses to play Skynyrd. I'm getting the beat boys out here. That guy better wake up in the morning, realize where he's at, and start playing some Skynyrd at the stadium. I cannot believe it. This is something the fans can control, Let's get it done.
That's what's up, man. This man wants some Skinner, man.
All right, boys.
That's what's up.
I don't know where to go after that.
Hey, man, the DJ might be a rookie, too. How about that?
He could be. You know, you got new announcers up in the booth, too. I mean, you got new all around. So, yeah, maybe the new DJ
coming.
They
better represent, better recognize where they're at.
We'll get Joe on that. We'll get Joe to make a call saying more Skinner. I didn't know we were taking requests. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Kimberly in St. Augustine. Kim, do you want some more Skinner at the stadium?
No, sir. I just wanted to say, you know, I kind of feel like y'all are bashing Maurice Jones-Drew when he's out there. You know, he can't get through the defensive line because I feel like ain't nobody blocking him, you know? And you got Blaine Gabbert out there who I saw at least one time today where he could have run straight up through the middle. He was completely covered, and he went around to the left and threw away the ball anyways. You know, I don't feel like it, you know, it's just one person screwing up the team. I feel like nobody's blocking the way they should be.
Yeah, I mean, great point. I think it's the question with Maurice is he just getting old in his career and he's not running through the tackles like he used to? Or is it just because he's hurt and once he gets fully recovered, he's going to be that same running back we've seen?
Well, you know, football is the ultimate team sport. You got 11 guys out there and each level has to help that next component. And not having a fullback like Greg Jones, not having Mercedes Lewis out there, Greg is gone, but they're significant parts in that running game. But at the same time, Maurice Jones-Drew has to take some onus in what he's doing. He's faced 8-man box for the majority of his career. Finding those open holes, making a burst when those holes open, he's got to do those things too. Recognizing the talent that he's missing, he has to step it to another level. I mean, he's not completely removed, but he's not also completely to blame as to what's going on.
I think what a lot of the fans are seeing is he was never brought down by like one hand on the feet, never in his career.
No, he's not even bursting through. When he sees that he's about to be tackled, it's a sense that he's almost just letting it happen. There is no fighting to get those extra yards that you've seen in Maurice Jones-Drew in the past.
I mean, that's the thing. Hopefully it's just that he's a little bit banged up, and once he heals up, we'll be back to the Maurice Jones-Drew of old. But right now, we just don't know.
You got to get him some help, dude. Got to get him some help.
Oh, yeah. 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Let's go to Troy. Troy, what's up, man?
I just wanted to make a quick comment. Before I pose you a question, you know, it kind of upsets me to hear some of these, you know, fans. We're in week 4, a new regime. They're already bashing, you know, the management, saying that, you know, they want us to tank the season, you know, everything else. They're posing questions like these guys aren't getting it their all. They're just collecting a paycheck. Marco, you know as well as anybody, these guys want to win, you know, and especially at this level. And the fans just need to sit back, chill, take a deep breath. You know, things are going to get better. They're doing the right things. They're getting rid of, you know, people they need to get rid of in order to make, you know, the salary cap better next year for it. So, you know, obviously we're probably going to get a good draft pick, but I think what I personally want to see more than anything, you know, the losing, I understand where we're at, and I understand we're not the greatest team. I just want to see them take some shots down the field, at least. You know, I understand Greg Jones being gone and Jones-Drew coming off of foot surgery. That's one of the worst things for a running back, like Marco said. But my question is, what do you guys think about Josh Evans' performance today? And also, what do you think about maybe putting LaRoy Reynolds in and getting him some more?
At the linebacker spot, yeah. I mean, I saw on that goal line, it might be a good idea to put him in on the goal line as opposed to having Russell Allen in there. I think Russell Allen is, you know, he's not as effective against the run, especially in that short quarter than I think that you could get from a young, hard-hitting linebacker like Reynolds. I think that would definitely have helped.
But what do you think, Marco? Do you think the Jaguars should take the approach of, like, listen, you know, we're not winning games with the guys we have, so let's give everybody a tryout and see who plays best? Or is it, you know what, these guys haven't played together enough. We got to get our core guys reps together so they learn how to play together and can feed off of each other. I mean, which one should it be?
Well, they're trying to establish an identity of the team. But you got all these guys that you really need to come out and show guys that you want to give a chance how to get it done. And they're sitting in the tank. Everybody's in the ice tub. You know, you got to get these guys on the field consistently. So, one, you can establish, okay, this is how we want things to go, and see it done right now. You start to give people a look, because right now, if you point to the film, you have no examples to say this is the way we want it done. You don't have many of that. You know, when you're in the film room, it's always corrections. How about an example? That's how you do it, son. Did you see that? And now, as the season goes and they're evaluating, not in the playoffs, then you start getting people in there, giving them some opportunities, you know, to see how they're doing their live with the live bullets. But they don't, no examples, man.
I mean, that's the thing. You see flashes of it. Like, you saw Blackman today. He's coming out and playing beast mode.
We're going to have to, and we got a week now. We got to get prepared and make it either W. Blackman. Or Jay Blackman.
I mean, and last week you saw Puz. I mean, he came out and played in beast mode for a quarter. You know, it's like, if they could just all play like that and put it all together for one game, defense would be great, but it's just you see a flash here, a flash there, a guy not playing well here, and another guy picking up the slack. If they all just could take it together one game, I think we'd be doing all right.
He asked about Josh Evans. I think those young safeties are going to be pretty good. They're just filling their way and understanding how to play this game.
They're staying with the guys. It's little mistakes, like turning around at the right spot, and you're going against a Hall of Famer in Reggie Wayne today, of course, you know, against a young guy.
A smart quarterback. So I think the more reps they get, the better that they're going to be. They're going to be really good at the end of the season. I hope that they keep Josh Evans in there, actually, going forward.
Going back to the phones, let's go to Kevin in Savannah. Kevin, what you got today?
Oh, I'm just so tired of watching Jason Babin be the most selfish defensive player that I've ever seen on the Jaguars team. I mean, he jumps off sides, he lines up off sides, he doesn't contain. He's done it every game so far this year, and it's really hurt the team, and it's key situations. I mean, pull him off until he wants to play like a team player.
Do you think it would be against the new NFL rules and the players' personnel would have an issue if you gave him like a shock collar like they have for the dogs, and every time he lines up off sides, the coach gives a little shock?
Like he ran out the little invisible fence?
Yeah, maybe that might help him a little bit to line up on sides.
Man, that is true, man. I think he hit it right on the head. It's selfish acts, man, and mental penalties. I mean, it's mental errors. 10-year veteran, the type of things that he's doing right now, you can't have. And like I said before, you're trying to find some examples on that's how you do it. And a 10-year veteran, that's who you're hoping you're able to point the branch and say, hey, that's how you get it done, son.
Yeah.
But right now, this guy really has earned a spot to not even be active, to be honest with you. I say you give another defensive end a chance to play and you sit him out.
I almost appreciate a guy that'll get a penalty for playing too aggressive, because at least you're going out there and trying to make plays. But when you're just lining up offside, there's no excuse for that. You know, just like jumping offsides on the offensive line, especially like if a wide receiver jumps offside, it's the equivalent. I mean, you're looking at the ball. There's no reason to jump offside.
And I'm watching him play, man, the decisions he makes on the field. I mean, they have... he's a 10-year veteran, so he's seen a lot of plays. If they got trips out there and the widest guy starts to motion in, he's coming to crack you. Do you know this dude still gets cracked? Come on, man. I mean, he got to get his head in the game. Those are strictly mental issues, and he's got to get that together. And I think they, you know, as a coaching staff, they may want to decide to have him sit down to set an example for those younger guys that this type of play will not be tolerated, because it's not just one game. He's done this 3 weeks in a row.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Taking more of your calls after this on the Scoreboard Show. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate Snacks, Food, Drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Coming right back here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, maple finished. Taking your calls, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. And Jags fans, it could be worse. It could be Tennessee right now. Lockhart having a great season.
Mm.
Just getting taken off by the cart.
Wow.
Looks like maybe a knee injury. That's not good for them.
Not at all. He was having a really good season.
So it could always be worse. I mean, and that's another point, you know. It's just sometimes bad luck hits you. You know, you could have the best quarterback on the field, freak knee injury, done for the season. There could go their season right there. Let's go back to the phones and let's talk with Joe in Orange Park. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good, Joe.
Doing better than Jake Locker right now.
Well, let me tell you my problem. I've got a situation where I thought last year was the low water mark for the Jaguars. I thought that Jaguars and Kansas City would be at the bottom for a long time. And I heard you guys say earlier tonight that, no, it takes a long time to turn the team around and you got to be patient. How did Kansas City manage to turn their team around and the Jaguars are still sucking canal water?
Real simple. Honestly, real simple answer to that. They had six Pro Bowlers on their team last year. They brought in a new coach who's a perennial playoff coach, and they got a starting quarterback that's been proven in the league. That's it.
Okay, now I've got a follow-up question. Since we've got a brand-new coach, a brand-new general manager, a new owner, how is Jacksonville going to get better when there's no one on the team that knows how to win?
Oh, I mean, you got guys that, I mean, the front office anyway. Caldwell, he's been around winning organizations his entire career. So if anybody can be brought in that knows how to pick winners, it's going to be him.
Well, but he hasn't done it. That's what he's saying. You got rookies all over the place, you know, and I think it's going to be done through the locker room.
Hey, Marco, you know, everybody's a rookie at one point.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You got to, I mentioned earlier that you got to get some veterans around that know how to win. You know, guy like Babin, I think you scratch him off the list real fast. I mean, you can't have 10-year veterans on your team that continuously, you know, create negative plays and negative, you know, a bunch of mental errors. I mean, if nothing else, bring someone that's, you know, like Mincy's a really good example of someone with the work ethic and that's going to come out and he's going to play. You need more of those guys. And they're going to have to, in order to by the third season, have a team that's playoff contention. Because I think it's not just about winning games. You got to be talking about going to get some championships. That's how you fill seats. It don't matter what kind of marketing, what kind of fan experience, win football games, you fill the stands. And I think by that third year, you're going to have to, at some point, get veterans in here to put around these young guys that you've been drafting to help them understand how to win, how to prepare to do it in this league. There's no way around the experience. Because if not, you're going to wait. I don't know if Gus Bradley will be around long enough to see these young guys mature to be those type of players. Unless, like for instance, Seattle, you talk about them being young, but they got a coach in Pete Carroll that has had an opportunity to be in this league that really understands it. You know, and they don't have that right now. They don't have the leadership that has had the experience, not just been around and watched it, but done it. You know, you know, it's something to say if you've rode the bike before and saying watching somebody ride it.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. Go to Charles on the west side. Charles, what's going on tonight? You there, Charles?
Hi, yeah. Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Good. I think Marco just took the words out of my mouth. He was saying exactly what I was going to say. I love the fact that we've invested in a lot of young talent. I love that. I love our secondary, Cyprian, Josh Evans, a great group. But who do they have to learn from? They need a group of guys, some veteran guys that they can go out and get in free agency. I know our salary cap, we are way below in salary cap. Why don't we go out and spend some money on some guys who can make a difference on this team?
Because, number one, you need the guys that want to come here. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to bring in free agents when you know you might not win a game or you might win two games.
You might go get whoever does the recruiting for Alabama. Go get Kirby Smart and go talk to some of these guys.
Yeah, but money talks, and if you have to overpay to get the right kind of guys in here to show the young guys the ropes, you do that. We have not done that. We haven't invested in free agency. We lost Darryl Smith, which I thought would have been a great person to lead our linebacking corps.
Greg Jones.
With Paz Lesney.
And Greg Jones. I think
those young guys to go with them.
Yeah, I think those are Greg Jones and Darryl Smith were two guys I think that they should have kept. He was the best player, and it was the type of veteran that would lead the team. And Greg Jones also a leader not only on the offense but also on those special teams. I think in that evaluation, man, you just keep him around maybe for a year and maybe get rid of him.
You also got to look at somebody like the Raiders. I mean, for how long? That was their MO, overpay guys that have done it before in the league, and look how many wins it got them. Didn't get them very far. Now they're actually finally starting to get past that hole. Okay, let's get some better players and pay them less. And they're still over the salary cap because of those deadweight contracts. Guys aren't even playing with the team anymore.
Well, San Francisco did it. They did a good job. But I think it's just up to the general manager and who they pick. Because, I mean, there's been several teams that have been able to do that. The Raiders just were poor at picking them. I mean, they pick guys in their 15th year and bringing them out there and think they're going to be able to play. I'm talking about veteran 7th, 8-year guys that have, you know, established them. Not guys that have gone up to the hill and now have plateaued.
Yeah,
guys that still have some, you know, you pay for those guys because, one, they have a resume that they're bringing, and they also have some growth potential. And I'm sure that's something that, you know, the owner will recognize is that, hey, this guy's in his prime, and I still see some growth. You can develop a multiple to attach to what you want to offer this guy at that, you know, off of what you see is can possibly come in. But old guys, you know, like I was in my 14th season, you don't want guys like that.
Anybody would be happy to have you, Marco, even in your 18th season, man. You can start kicking.
Hey, man, but you got to surround these young guys, because right now all they know about is losing. You know, they don't have anyone, even the guys that are here, Meester, Maurice Jones-Drew, these guys aren't perennial playoff contenders. And these guys have been, you know, over the past 4 or 5 years, all they've been doing is losing. So they know how to say all the right things when you're losing games. Oh, we're still working hard. These are some of the best guys in the locker room. Hey, man, how about somebody get pissed off? Because we've been listening about that for like 3 or 4 years. Somebody needs, at some point in time, to be a butthole and to get things moving.
You know, it was really funny today. We were talking Gus Bradley when that awful penalty or that awful whistle was blown, redo the down. You know, maybe he should have went out there and got it thrown out of the game. Like in baseball, fire up your team.
Just get a chest bump, you know, I mean, like the umpire.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, granted, you know, you're probably going to get fined and, it, you know, you're going to cost the team some more yards. But at the same time, maybe it lights a fire. Maybe it even just shows some of these young guys, be like, man, look, our coach is really pulling for us. It's time for us to step up and start pulling for him now.
They're going to follow the leader. And that fire is, you know, he's a heck of a guy. You know, and I think it's not something to be also to be said about having a bunch of good guys. But when you hit that field, this is not a gentleman's sport. Don't get it confused. This is still savagery at its best, baby. So once you get on it in those 60 minutes, I want savagery. Now, when the game is over and we're walking around in the community of Jacksonville,
yeah, don't go start beating up people.
Yeah, you got to conduct yourself appropriately. But when that whistle blows, hey, man, leave the women and children at home. Let's go get it.
Gonna get ugly. 355 NFL 1. Let's go to Chris in Oak Leaf. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys. I just had a quick comment for you guys. You know, I know that this is a rebuilding season, and I know that it's going to take some time for us to get where we want to be. And I don't blame Gus for any of that. I realize that it's going to take a few seasons for us to get where we want to be at. But I guess my question to you is about when do we start? I know we can't just rebuild our team through free agency, you know, like the Eagles did. But at what point do we start needing to take a look at some of these free agents and decide that we need to get some of that seniority on the team?
I mean, yeah, and that's the thing. It's such a slippery slope. You say 3 years should be good, or you should have like a 3 to 4 year plan, and they should be contending. But at the same time, you need to basically redo the whole roster. Yeah, yeah. Tough question, really is.
But you got to look at opportunities like Cleveland and how you can get it done fast. Cleveland is a lot similar to what's going on here in Jacksonville. They've had several losing seasons, and I think their general manager came in and they recognized that, look, we can't wait 3-4 seasons to get a winning team. Here it is. We got a marquee player that can, by getting rid of him, can increase our ability to get better faster. If that's what you got to do, then get that done. Because, you know, like I said, because you got folks that are coming here with their hard-earned money for the past few years, paying to get in, got season tickets, paying for parking. Reward them. You know what I mean? Go ahead and dump the dead weight and pick up something fresh and new and get it moving now. Well, as soon as possible, I would say.
You know, and it's not that inconceivable to think they can't turn it around next year. I mean, you figure, let's just say they have the number one pick. Let's say you nail the quarterback position. Boom, there's one thing right there. It went to receivers of Blackman. If he can stay out of trouble and Cecil Shorts can get back to form, you got good receivers there. So you got a decent offense. And then who's to say that they wouldn't go and trade their second round pick and maybe a third to jump back into the first round and get a dominant pass rusher? And boom, there's a nice core draft right there that it could turn things around in 1 year.
Yeah, so hopefully that happens.
355-NFL-1, that's 355-6351. One segment left here on the Scoreboard Show. Going to try to get to all these calls. It's going to be tough. A lot of people want to weigh in today here on Jaguars Radio. This is the Scoreboard Show and the Injury Report presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. No, Mercedes Lewis was in for a little bit. Then he was out for a long time.
And he was out.
And who knows what's going to happen to him this week. We're going to get more of an update
it's like
from the
one
coach
this week.
I mean, that's a rough one because, you know, you think when you got like a knee or even a hamstring, you get that. You don't hear calf injuries keeping guys out for weeks at a time. But well, I guess
must be bad.
355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Let's go to Cherie. Is it Cherie? Sherry?
Hi, John. Hey, Marco.
Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Marco. I'm the sign lady. Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear you.
Thank you. I'm really feeling the pain for Blaine. I think that young man has gone through so many changes since he came in, being young, standing behind a line that's not protecting him.
Having to cut his hair.
My sign this week said, all will be fine, just hold the line, and the line did not hold. He's running for his life. People are saying, the general thing is he's not, he flinches. And I don't think he flinches. I think he runs into the fray. I think he's getting a bad rap that way. I really do think, I hope he gets a chance. Jay, a little while ago, you said, you know, this draft, you know, we'll get a quarterback and everything will be fine. Everything will be fine for any quarterback we put behind a line that holds. Not in any way throwing our center under the bus. He's doing a great job. He's a veteran. He's doing his job. But there seems to be a breakdown on the line. It's just hurting my heart that Blaine is getting thrown under the bus. That's it.
Yeah, great call. I mean, that's hard. It's great points. If the line doesn't block, doesn't matter who you got behind center. I mean, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady won't be as good if their lines aren't blocking for them.
Yeah, and they got to catch balls, too. Some guys, you know, dropped a lot of balls today. But at the same time, you can't remove Blaine completely. You know, a lot of the times he runs in the pressure, he holds the ball a little bit too long. He's got to make a better decision, make quicker decisions. So,
or he leaves the pocket too early.
Like I said, this offense is doing so bad right now that it's not just Blaine. It's not just MJD. It's not just the offensive line. It is the entire offense needs to get it together, including, like I said, you got to throw in those offensive coaches too, because it's not just, you know, you're bad in pretty much every category. So you're right. It's not just one person.
We could literally pick apart every single player on this team, and that's what happens when you have a winless team so far. I mean, you can see more negative than positive.
Yeah, everyone contributes to that.
Let's go to Chris on the north side. Chris, how you doing tonight?
How you doing, guys? Listen, I have a concern about the team. Hearing people call in about the wide receivers and things, saying that they're not playing well. But to me, it's all on the quarterback, because I see at the end of the game, for example, just Cecil Shorts was running a fade route to the back of the end zone, and Gabbert throws the ball like it's an out route sideways, causing Cecil Shorts to have to contort and twist his body to try to catch a pass. And that's the way all his balls are, and these guys are always constantly contorting their bodies to try to catch his passes that are wildly inaccurate. Did it last year with Mercedes Lewis when he was playing in Houston. He was wide open, and he dropped that pass. People saying he needed to catch that. The dude was wide open, and he had to turn around completely backwards to catch a pass that he shouldn't have to do that for. So that's clearly all on the quarterback's fault. Why is Chad Henne able to put up 17 points against this number one defense in Seattle?
Because their backups were in. Then they put up all those points, the backups for Seattle.
No, it wasn't until the end of the game.
They kept their starters in for the main part on defense.
Yeah, but
pretty much throughout that game.
They took out their starting corners. Both starting corners came out in Seattle. I do know that for a fact. When they took out that quarterback and they took out their best pass rusher, they made some significant personnel changes in that Seattle game. It was like playing against the JV in the second half.
There's still stuff. He needs to be way more accurate, because that's just ridiculous. A lot of his passes are way far behind for guys to try to catch. And to me, the one thing that they really need to do to fix the offense for me is they really need to give Denard Robinson a chance at quarterback and implement the read option. I really think that will work with Maurice Jones-Drew back there and having Denard Robinson at quarterback, because he needs to be the sixth option that the defense needs to account for to put stress and move the ball down the field. You can't tell me that wouldn't work with this team.
I mean, they tried it once. It didn't work. He fumbled, you know?
Yeah, it's just not a lot of confidence in Denard.
If you don't have
right
confidence,
now,
you can't do anything with him. That's the problem. I mean, yeah, he's going to be good one day. If he can get it all together, he's got the talent to do it. He's just got to put everything together. And right now, they don't have the confidence in him to run, you know, at quarterback or to run at Wildcat, because they tried it last game. And one play, one fumble, you can't. You can't do it.
Yeah, Blaine's made some bad throws, but he's made some good throws, and guys got to catch him. So, I mean, it's, like I said, again, it's not just Blaine. I'm not throwing all the blame on Blaine, and you can't throw it all on Blaine. Yes,
on
Blaine
everybody.
Has done some things wrong, but he's contributed just like the offensive line, the wide receivers, and the coaches. Everyone has to take some responsibility as to the offense not being productive.
Let's go one more call before we wrap it up here. Let's go to Melvin. We'll keep your call streak alive, Melvin.
What's going on, Jay Marco?
You got it, buddy.
Yeah, doing all right.
Yep.
It's Jay. It's just like I said, I call in every week, you know, and we touch bases. It's just like I said when the season started. Chad gave us a better chance to win, you know. When Blaine in there, you know, we get 3 points. When Chad in there, we get 7. You know, that's the way I see it. He gave us a better chance to put. Chad, you know, I love Blaine. Chad gave us a better chance to put points on the board, and that's what's important, is putting points on the board.
Well, you know, I mean, it, right now, it doesn't matter which one is neither one. I think it's just the consistency of somebody being in there. And, you know, and I think right now, even though Chad, you know, they were both given a game to see what's going on, they weren't able to do it. But for whichever quarterback that's in there, it just needs some consistency.
Yeah,
that quarterback to be in for several games.
For better or worse, you got to make a choice and you got to stick with it because, yep, like you said, consistency. If you want to know if you're taking a quarterback in the first round next year, you got to find out if one of these guys can't do it or neither of them can do it. That's the only way you'll be taking a quarterback. If Blaine comes out and lights the world on fire in the last 11 games, you know, then might not be talking about quarterback in the first round.
He's got a lot of football left, man. He got 12 games left. So, I mean, and there's an opportunity for Blaine to put together a good stretch to just completely. Now, I don't know if we need to take a quarterback in the first round because he is a first rounder and he's starting to mature. So, you got to wait and see how this thing ends to see what's going to be. It's a little early to talk about the first-round pick right now.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot to talk about. But we do have St. Louis this week.
Yeah.
St. Louis, who's had some struggles of their own. They're having some quarterback issues on their own. So, you never know. Any given Sunday, right?
Any given Sunday. This is the Sunday. Next Sunday will be the Sunday. They need to get it done.
Yeah, because they're running out of chances against bad teams to try to get those W's out.
Yeah, but that means they got a good team. This is another team that has a couple of Pro Bowlers on the team. I mean, this is not a – you can't look at the record. You know, you got to look at the teams that they play. They've lost some really tough games. So, it's not going to be a cakewalk.
Either way, we'll be talking about it afterwards here in the Scoreboard Show like we do every week. Love the caller that called in earlier and says, yeah, I listen to you after every home game. Start listening on the away game too, man. Come on. Had to throw that in there. Marco, we know you got Twitter. We found that out last week. The question is, are you tweeting?
I have not been tweeting.
You got the hit, but you're not tweeting on it.
That's the first step, just establishing the account. So now I got to figure out how to
give out that Twitter handle one more time.
Me and my son and my whole family, we were sitting at out to dinner yesterday. And last night, I asked my son, I said, man, how do I wanted to tweet that I'm out here eating dinner with the family. I couldn't even figure it out.
Well, what's your Twitter handle in case anybody wants to follow your non-tweets?
MDC Live. That's me, man.
I am Jay Gray underscore WOKV. Follow us on Twitter. I actually do tweet a little bit more than Marco. Not much. So we won't bug you all day with our nonsense tweets. But
there you go.
As always, you can talk to us every week here on the Scoreboard Show. Thanks for listening in. Back again next week with a date in St. Louis. Going to be a fun one. Waiting on that Jags first win. Hopefully it's coming sooner than later. But like I said, could be a lot worse. Could be in Tennessee right now where your quarterback just goes down with looks like a bad injury. So always got to look. Somebody out there might be a little worse off than you. Thanks again for listening to Scoreboard Show. Back again next week here on Jaguars Radio.
Later.